You don't have somebody to preach, or you don't have somebody to teach Sunday school. Guess what? Get up here and do it then. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Then do the best you can. Do the best you can. God's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. That's to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And yours may not be the prettiest outlines or the way that it should be structured. Or maybe you can't walk around back and forth. And maybe you have to stay right here. Maybe you have to follow this outline perfectly just so you can keep your thoughts together. It doesn't matter how you have to do it. Do it. Because it has to be done. As the spiritual leader in the church, you have to step up and do things sometimes that you don't want to do. You have to do that at home, right? As the leader of your home, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. Ain't that amazing how that works? What are you supposed to be at home? Spiritual leader, right? As the man of your house, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader. You're supposed to be the head of the house, right? It doesn't mean you're supposed to control. It doesn't mean you're supposed to put your thumb on somebody and say, hey, you can't do this. It means you're supposed to be the spiritual leader in your home. You're supposed to be setting the example for everybody else in your house. Guess what? Women can do that too. Do you know that? You can be a spiritual leader at your house too. Maybe your husband doesn't want to come to church. Guess what? You ought to drag your kids to church then. You know, you don't get preachers to preach that kind of stuff very often. I'm just saying. And I understand people got to work. I completely get that. Your husband has to work out of town or whatever. Guess what? It's your job to make sure they get to church. It's your job to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to keep them in church where they need to be and where they belong. That's your job to do that. You take that spiritual leader role for that moment in time and do what God's called you to do for your family. So when you're looking for a pastor, there's certain things you need to look for. And we know a lot of the qualifications for a pastor. Ministry must come from the heart. And you have to have a private walk with God. You'll only be as effective as your walk with the Lord. You ever thought about that? If you want to be effective for somebody, if you want to be effective in other people's lives, and you want to be able to teach and preach and tell somebody about the Word of God, and be able to help somebody with the Word of God, you have to actually have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll only be as effective as you are in the book. If you're not willing to get in the book and study it, guess what? You're not going to be effective. Now, we know that. How many people here teach? Raise your hand. Some shape, form, or fashion, or have teach. So there's a lot of teachers here, right? There's a lot of people that teach in some shape, form, or fashion. Guess what? I found this out the other day. I was sitting there reading and it kind of hit me. Did you know that when you teach something that you read a book about this subject, right? And you have to know about that subject. Do you know some of the subjects you teach, you absolutely have no idea what really is going on with it? When you teach history, you weren't there, right? You're just taking what somebody said. Isn't that right? You're just reading the book. Now, yeah, you can see things and you can see how it transpired, but you weren't there when it happened. So all you can do is take the book for what it says, and then you have to relay that information to somebody else. Isn't that what you do with the Word of God? Isn't that what you do with the Word of God? Most of us are not scientists, right? So if you're teaching science, what are you doing? You're taking what the book says. And you're just trying to teach it the best way that you know how. And you may know a lot about the subject, but that doesn't mean you're the scientist. It just means you're the teacher. So if you want to teach somebody about the Word of God, you have to get in the Word of God to be able to teach it to somebody else. That doesn't mean you know everything about it. Amen? When you're looking for a pastor, you better ought to find somebody that's pretty humble. Who acts like he doesn't know everything better than everybody else, you know? There's a lot of preachers nowadays that go around, and what they do is they go to school. And there's nothing wrong with going to school. I've been to Bible school, and I'm thankful for the time that I spent in Bible school. Guess what? I'm still in Bible school. And I'm fixing to start another one. Why? Because I want to learn as much as I can. I want to get as much knowledge as I possibly can about the Word of God. And I'm willing to let somebody else teach me things in the Word of God that they have learned over years and years and years of studying the Word of God. I'm willing to learn and try to apply those things to be able to help somebody. I'm willing to be able to sit here and be taught by somebody.
If you want to be effective, though, you have to be in the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God for yourself. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So if you're supposed to study to show thyself approved unto God, to be able to share it with somebody else, you're going to have to be in it and you're going to have to know it. You're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to be able to help somebody else with the Word of God. Leadership is influence. When God entrusted you with the call to lead, He entrusted you with influence for Him. That's what you are. As a spiritual leader, as a preacher or a pastor or Sunday school teacher, you're an influencer. And you hear that a lot. And as a teacher, that's what you are. Now, I get this great and wonderful job coming up. And you know, when you're offered a job, sometimes you don't know what all that has to do. You know, they leave pieces out of your job title a lot of times. So I'm fixing to move to this new position. I'm going to be a youth pastor and a music minister. That's what my job titles was told to me. Okay, so I'm going to be a youth pastor, and I'm going to be a youth pastor and a music minister. And I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And then they said, well, you're going to also be the school chaplain. That's fine. I have to put together chapel schedules and make sure all that stuff's running. Then guess what they told me about a week ago I was going to have to do? Teach Bible class to a bunch of 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. Hallelujah. It's going to be so much fun. And then guess what they said? You'll also have to be in the rotations as a substitute teacher. I said, you have lost your mind if you think I'm going to be a substitute teacher. They said, well, it's not like that. When you're a substitute, all you got to do is just go in there and monitor that. I said, you don't understand. I barely made it out myself. You don't want me teaching anybody. So, you know, they leave things out of the job titles a lot of times. But guess what I am looking forward to? I'm looking forward to being able to help some kid in that school, some kid in that church. Why? Because I'm going to take my opportunities that I get to share Jesus Christ with them, even if it means I got to teach a history class. Yay. If they teach science class, I'm going to call you and let you teach it. They don't want that. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the things. And I want to be an influence in somebody's life. When you're looking for a pastor or a spiritual leader for the church, there are a few things to think that are important. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. As a pastor, as somebody who is called of God to preach, I think that verse holds very strongly. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. If you're going to find a pastor, the best way to do that is go see where he went to church. If you want to see how a pastor is, go figure out where they've been in church. That's a good way to figure out how they're going to pastor. That doesn't mean that they're going to take everything that they've always heard or everything that they've always... It doesn't mean that, but it means you're going to be in a pretty good direction. If you'll sit back and go, hey, this guy came from this kind of church and they believed this kind of way and they did these kind of things, guess what? He's probably going to do a lot of those things. Why? Because that's what he's been taught. So if you find a pastor and you say, hey, we want somebody that preaches the King James Bible, guess what? Don't go find a pastor who's been going to a church who don't preach the King James Bible. You say, we don't want Calvinistic doctrine, and you shouldn't want it. But guess what? Don't go get the pastor that's going to a Calvinistic church. And that's a little bit difficult nowadays to find that. But don't go find that one. You say, you don't want somebody that's legalistic. Guess what? Don't go find one that goes to a legalistic church. And you won't have that problem. When you're looking for a pastor, do your work and actually look at where they came from, because what they are taught is what you're going to get most of the time. What they are taught is what you're going to hear most of the time. It goes on to say that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The Bible says by sound doctrine. So you got to have somebody that actually knows what they believe and why they believe it, right? They got to stand for something. They have to be able to stand on what they believe and why they believe it. Why is that important? Because they have to be able to exhort and they have to be able to convince the gainsayers. There's people going to come up and say, hey, he doesn't really believe that. Guess what? He's got to still be able to stand up and say, yes, I do, and this is the reason why. Here's my Bible for it. Is he always going to be right? Probably not. But guess what? He ought to be able to at least give an answer. You ever thought about that? I might not always be right, but I will always give you an answer for what I believe. You say, well, we could sit here and argue about it. We could sit here and argue about it, and guess what? You might change their mind. You might give them scripture they've never read before, and that is fine. But I will give you an answer for what I believe right now. That's important. Why? Because you're going to have people come into that door that want to hear the truth, and you've got to be able to give them truth. You've got to be able to give them the Word of God so that they know where you stand as a church. Not somebody that just gets up here and tries to make everything feel good, look good. Not just somebody that's trying to be so consumed with getting more and more people. And I'm all for people. I'm all for having a big crowd. I heard last week y'all had a lot of people. Amen. I think a lot of them were his family, right? When you got six kids, you got a big family, I can guarantee that. But that's a good thing. I'm all for having more people. I'm all for having big crowds, but I'm all for having the truth preached still. Pastoring is a sacrificial calling. God's call, God calls it a good work. Work implies sacrifice, labor, and personal cost. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, the Bible said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A good work. That means you're going to have to do something, right? That means you're going to have some sacrifice and labor and personal cost. Now, as a preacher and as a pastor, you find out that that work looks a little different. Sometimes that work is physical, but not most of the time. And you see, that's where some things go a little sideways with people. You know, they act like they got a better job than you because they go out and sweat 8 hours a day. You know, you don't work because you're not doing what I do. Have you ever thought that you're not doing what he does either? You know how much stress is on somebody who's pastoring? Thinking about all the people that are in the church constantly, trying to study constantly. And it's even worse if he's bivocational, trust me. And that's still okay to be bivocational. I don't care what they say. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. That doesn't make them a bad preacher. Sometimes they got to still support their family. And this day and age, that's way more difficult than it used to be. So you sit back and you sit there and go, this guy's got to study. He's still got to keep up with everything at the church. He's still trying to keep up with the people in the church. Guess what? Give him a little bit of slack here and there. He's got a lot on his mind, trust me. Maybe you ought to try to help him out a little bit every once in a while. You know, that's the reason why the Bible talks about elders and deacons and things like that, right? You know, those things are still biblical. Why are those things set in place? They were set in place to help the pastor. They were set in place to be able to say, here's your help. Here's who you can go to so that maybe they can take some of this load off of you so that you can do what you're called to do, which is preach and teach the Word of God. Because you know, that's the number one thing that a preacher should do, is preach and teach the Word of God. It's very difficult to preach and teach the Word of God when he has no time to study the Word of God because he's too busy trying to make phone calls every 30 seconds or go here and go there. Those things are not bad.
And if you've got time to do them, that's fine. But I sit back and look at even at Victory this moment in time. I went to Victory Sunday for Mother's Day. And Joey was up there and he's going through everything and he was doing all the stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to be there Sunday if you want me to do something. He goes, don't worry about it. Just enjoy the day off and, you know, maybe you'll sing in the choir or something like that. And if I need your help. Well, when he got done, he said, well, I wish I would have took your help. You see, what he did on Sunday morning was he got up, he did announcements for the church, okay? He does all the announcements. He stopped doing the announcements, led the first song, turned around and led the choir, led the next song, led the last song, did a baby dedication, did the senior dedication, got done doing all that, and then had to preach the sermon. Can you imagine where his mind was at? He's trying to keep it all together. I got to remember what song we're doing for the choir. I got to remember what song is next on the list of things to do. I got to remember about all the little details of what's going on in the church and in the school because he's got graduation coming up. He's talking about the play. He's talking about all these different things in the announcement, so he's got to keep all that together in his mind. He's sitting there looking at 200 people trying to keep it all together, and he has no help. You see, there's a lot that goes on in your mind as a preacher. Not to mention the fact that he's got to try to keep a sermon together. And he already taught Sunday school. He just came from Sunday school. And you sit back and go, well, maybe if church that big, they should have more help. Well, they should. Guess what? Ain't nobody steps up to be a spiritual leader. You say, well, a church that big should have more. It should. Guess what? It doesn't, though. It doesn't. So imagine what a church of 75 does. If a church of 200 won't do it, a church of 75 won't do it, right? You need to start doing it now so that when you get to 200, guess what? You're still doing the same thing. You're still helping. You're still involved. Start doing it now. Don't wait to start helping. Be a spiritual leader. Goes on to say in verse 2 of 1 Timothy, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, when I sit and look at these things, you would say these are the qualifications of a pastor, right? And I believe they are qualifications of a pastor, but as much as I believe they're qualifications of a pastor, I believe there should be qualifications of you too. Yeah? I believe it's just as important that you uphold these things right here. I believe it's important that the women uphold them too. You say, well, the pastor's supposed to be different. Is he really supposed to be different? Is the pastor really supposed to be different from everybody else in the pew? Are we all supposed to be all the same? Now, granted, the pastor usually is a little bit different. Why? Usually because he studies more than you do. Usually because he knows that he's got to stay in the Word of God so that he can keep his mind right. See, the difference is that you don't do that, though. That's the only thing that separates you and him. Is his study, his desire, is a little different from everybody else's. That's why he seems like he's up here, when in reality, you should all be up there. I was looking through this book, and I was going through these different things, and he kind of breaks them down, and I'll break them down for you a little bit. Blameless literally means not able to be held. The spiritual leader is to be above reproach. This doesn't mean you won't be accused of wrong. It means there must not be any truth in the accusation or evidence of wrongdoing.
You see a lot of preachers that get a lot of bad stuff said about them. Some of them are true, and you should look into those things. Yes, you should, okay? That doesn't mean you just give a pass because he's a preacher. There's a lot of horrible, horrible, horrible things that are going on in churches nowadays. You should look into those things. But if a preacher is supposed to be blameless, guess what? You shouldn't be able to find the fault in him. When you look into it, guess what? You shouldn't be able to find anything. There should be no evidence of anything that actually happened. That's being blameless. That doesn't mean you can't look into things. The husband of one wife. The challenge refers both to marital status and to moral practice. Now, some people get a little hung up on that one right there, but you can read Proverbs 6, 32 through 33 on your own time if you'd like to. And you can read that and figure out where you stand with it, okay? There's a lot of people that go different ways with that husband and one wife thing, and some people say, well, that disqualifies a lot of people. I'm here to tell you right now, you better be careful who you disqualify. Okay? You better be real careful when you start disqualifying people. Because guess what? You don't get to qualify them. God gets to qualify them. God's the one who qualifies people to preach or not to preach, not you. I get it, there's things that should be done and certain ways that things should be done, and I get all of those things, and I can read the Word of God and I know exactly what it says and exactly what it means. But you better quit disqualifying people from doing something for God. Because that's what ends up happening in church. A lot of times you disqualify somebody because of what you think. You ought to read the Word of God and figure out what you believe about that. Vigilant, the word refers to one who thinks clearly and who exercises his mind to discernment and careful awareness. In other words, when to study, when to rest, when to counsel, and when to pray. Those are a few things that he gave when he was talking about being vigilant. And that's something that you have to do as a preacher a lot of times. But even in your own daily walk, when you sit back and you think about when do you have time to study and when do you have time to rest and when do you counsel with somebody and when do you pray, you have to be able to do all of those things. Rest is important. You can't just run yourself ragged. I can be that kind of person. I have a tendency to just go and go and go and go and go until I am absolutely just shot. That's just my thing. My dad is the same way. You've seen my dad. You've met my dad. He preached here. My dad's a great preacher. My dad is horrible at knowing when to rest. My dad works 60 to 70 hours a week driving a truck. He's done that for the past 35 years for the same company. He's pastored a church for 15 years. On top of all that, my dad went to Bible school, and he went to Bible school back when you actually had to go to class. Victor used to have an actual class that he'd go to. My dad would work all day driving a truck, leave driving a truck, go to class and be in class until 9 o'clock. And then after that, they would sit there and discuss it for an hour outside of class, just mulling over Bible and different things like that, as preachers do, seem to do. So they do that for another hour, come home, eat, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go do it all over again. I remember that being his life for the longest time. And then get up on Sundays, and guess what he'd do? Go preach at a jail. He'd go preach at a jail, he'd leave the jail, come back to church, preach Sunday school class, sit in church, be back at church at 4:30 for choir practice, sing in the choir, and maybe get to listen to the sermon or maybe have to preach depending on what was going on that week. Sometimes it's good to just stop. You have to know when to rest. You have to know when to take a break. You have to understand that when you're looking for a pastor, you got to know when he needs a break. Sometimes he needs to take a vacation, and that's okay. Y'all all get to take vacations, right? Andy says no, he don't take a vacation. Andy, you always on a vacation, bud. You was wrestling last night, or Saturday night, wasn't you?
You got to know when it needs a break. You got to understand it's okay for him to have somebody else in to preach and him take a weekend off. Why? Because sometimes he needs to get his mind back right. Sometimes he needs to go listen to somebody else preach every once in a while. You ever thought about that? It does good for a preacher to get preaching. I've always thought about this. This is the greatest thing. Victory does it, and I'm kind of excited about it. Kind of. I'm not excited about going to California, but I'm really excited about what I get to go here. We get to go to Paul Chappell's church once a year. Me and Brother Joey will get to go. They'll fly us to California. We'll go. We'll stay there for a week, and then we'll come back. And it's a leadership conference is what they call it. It's a pastoral conference. So you get to go, and you get to be a part of it, and you get to go to all the different classes, and you get to hear a bunch of good preaching, all those kind of things. It's great, and it's wonderful. And I'm looking forward to it. Why? Because that's the kind of things that preachers ought to be able to go to and be able to get kind of encouraged again and kind of get the fire back underneath them again and all those kind of things. So when you get another pastor in, guess what? You ought to think about that every once in a while. You ought to think about, hey, maybe there's some kind of a conference we could send him to every year that would just boost his confidence a little bit. Maybe teach him something that he needs to know that he can come back to teach us about. That's what those kind of conferences are for. You get to have a bunch of preachers together and they get to talk about, hey, what did work and what doesn't work. We do the same thing. It's kind of like owning a business to an extent. You got to try to grow. I'm in the process of trying to figure out how we're going to grow the youth group. I got 15 kids in the youth group right now. I got 200 kids in the high school. And I got to figure out how to bridge the high school and the church. And some people say, well, that's pretty easy. I found out it's not easy. Because, you see, they have to come to school to get an education. And the parents want to send them to a Christian school so they can get a good education, but they don't have to deal with all the garbage, even though there's still some garbage you still have to deal with. Amen. But what I found out is a lot of them still don't want to come to church. Because church ain't important. And then I found out all these good parents that want to send their kids to a good church or a good school, and they want them to have a good education, and they want them to be growing up in the right environment. Well, guess what I've also found out? They don't want to go to church either. Now, ain't that amazing? Their moral line stops somewhere. Where does their moral line stop? When it becomes inconvenient for them. When did it become so inconvenient to come to church? Like, I really don't understand that one. If somebody could explain that to me, I would be just very appreciative of that. Because I've racked my brain on when it became so inconvenient for you to get up and come to church for like, what, maybe 4 hours a week? Maybe? I don't even preach that long. I don't know how long Brother Barlow went, but it couldn't have been an hour. Then again, maybe it could have. I don't know. But most people ain't preaching an hour. You get 45 minutes on a good Sunday. You look back at my sermons, you can see the timestamps on them. I usually don't go over 35 minutes. And y'all fall asleep when I'm preaching. And then they sit back and say, well, they ain't got 30 minutes to listen to a preacher. Shame on you, right? They ain't got 30 minutes to give God just a little bit of time. What's the church come to? See, the thing about it is, though, if the preacher only studied 30 minutes and gave you what he studied in 30 minutes, you wouldn't like that. Now, would you? You expect more out of that spiritual leader, right? What about you? Don't these things still apply to you? I would say that they do. I'm so sick of everybody getting so distanced from things of the Word of God because it says this is to a bishop or this is to a pastor or this is to an elder or this is to a... It's to you all. Yeah, you may not be called to be the preacher. Guess what? That's fine. Your calling may be different. Guess what? The qualifications don't change. It's still the Word of God. We'll stop there. Because I'm fixing to run out of time. Maybe we'll look at some other ones next week. Or the next time that we meet together,
We'll look at some other ones of these. I really recommend this book. If you can get a hold of it, you can order it offline. Online, not offline. You can order it online if you go to Paul Chappell's website, and you'll be able to get most of his material. He has a lot of good material. If you're looking for any kind of Sunday school material, or you're looking for any kind of Wednesday night material that you're going through, and y'all are interested in any of his stuff, he has some great material to follow. Paul Chappell, he puts out a ton of stuff, and it's geared for all different things. He's got stuff for teens. He's got stuff for adults, stuff for marriage classes. Man, he's got just a ton of things that you can pick from. So if you're ever in that place where you're looking for some different kind of material and just kind of wanting to see some things, and you don't have to worry about the Bible not being in there, you don't have to go pick the King James Version and then somebody still destroy it for you, this right here is a good one to follow because he still is a King James only guy. He's still good to follow, and he has a lot of good material. So I hope you got something out of Sunday school this morning, and we'll get ready for the morning service. Brother Scott, close us in a word of prayer, please. Thank you.